Okay, so today we have two Bible readings, even though we are starting on the book of Psalms today. Before we read the first Psalm, we're actually going to have a look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. This is the end of a letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians while he was in jail because he was following Jesus. So that's Philippians chapter 4. Verses 10 to 13. Okay. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now we're going to turn to Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Thanks, Tracy. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you on this winter's, very winter's day, the start of a cold blast. So it's great to be here. And for kids who are with us in church today, we're sorry that kids' church at the last minute got cancelled. Some people who, we haven't had much of a team around actually over this period, and some people had to pull out last night, and that just meant we weren't ready for today. But I want to see, just like Brad said, I want to see this tree that you're drawing. It's going to be big, bright, flourishing. And also keep listening out for what the tree represents in the psalm later on. Okay, so here we are at the book of Psalms, and it's a collection of 150 songs and poems, and we're going to look at the very first one that opens the collection. It's an ancient poem and song. It's ancient to us, but it was quite popular to the people of the Jewish people hundreds of years ago. And it's kind of the first song actually has this big headline banner, which I've got up there. It's "Happy" or "Blessed is the one who." Now, lots of different translations will have the word "happy." I'm sure some of our Bibles have that. Also, "blessed" is another translation option. The difference between the two, we'll get to that in a sec. But what's been put up here is like a big Instagram profile of the day, that this is a happy one. This is a blessed one who does a whole bunch of different things. It's like, how does this person become happy and blessed? But right at the start, Psalms is actually holding up a big banner. He is someone who has found the pathway to happiness. This is someone who has found the secret to contentment, well-being, and joy. And there's someone who is experiencing this happiness even now amidst a world that does have brokenness and trouble. So let me ask you, are you happy? That's good to hear. Well, we're all We're all driven and wired to be happy. Just about anyone you talk to, we could have a conversation, and just after a little while talking about what do you do and why do you do it, it'll become clear that it's attached to the pursuit of happiness. Are you happy? And if I was to ask you, why are you not happy? Because lots of people do express that they are not happy. Very shortly, we would be focusing our conversation on the circumstances that we're going through. And people would say, most likely, I'll be happy when. And we'll talk about when this changes, or I get this, or this circumstance disappears or evaporates or comes into being. And when we answer like that, it really shows that this world is not perfect, right? And happiness is somewhat elusive. Even if we get tastes of it, they evaporate, but that complete happiness is elusive. Everyone is waiting to be happy, and you can meet a lot of people who are miserable and frustrated and discontented and even angry and lashing out at people and the world around them because they just can't find and grab that happiness. Now, Psalm 1 today, as I said, is someone who has found the pathway, and it's putting before us, this is the pathway and secret to lasting and true happiness that can be enjoyed even now. So I want to address first anyone who is with us today, but you wouldn't yet consider yourself a Christian. Today, as we go into Psalm 1, Psalm 1 will declare for us that happiness cannot be found in any other source other than God. And let me ask all the Christians who are with us in the room, are you a happy Christian? It can be quite alarming how many Christians have this constant bitterness and discontent and frustration and can be angry. Maybe there will be some of us who, with a bit of self-reflection, you can identify, yeah, I feel like I spend my whole life angry and frustrated. Now, this is not to say that there aren't seasons where there is genuine sadness and stuff, but I'm talking about if you're constantly angry and frustrated and bitter, and that plays out in your home, that you're constantly frustrated with the people in your home because it's just not working. Or maybe that plays out on social media, just the way that you bash and judge and condemn. Now, Charles Spurgeon, a preacher from a couple of hundred years ago, he said this: those who are beloved of the Lord must be the most happiest people on the face of the earth. And I think there's something true in what he is grabbing at there. If we feel bitter and angry and we're unpleasant to be around, now can I suggest that if that is you or you resonate in any way with that, that maybe you have moved away somewhat from God as your source of happiness? And if we do that, then that entails that'll be the source of so much frustration and disappointment. Because we have all these false expectations about this life. So would you too, Christian, if you don't feel happy, would you come with me today to this psalm and again find that our true source of happiness is in God, and it is a happiness that starts and is experienced now, even as our world is punctured with sorrows and disappointments. So let's open up to Psalm number one, so open up your Bible with me. And we'll flow through the psalm and we'll have a look at some of the images and phrases that are there. So first up, as we said, blessed is the one. Now this is a phrase that comes up all through the psalms, lots and lots of times. It's an invitation. It's saying, hey, look, here is one and this is what you can be. And I mentioned that different translations have happy, some have blessed. Those two words are connected, but in the original Hebrew, the more literal word that is being used is happiness. And it's bringing out the state or the result of having been blessed. So you could focus on the action of being blessed, but Happy, this word is rich because it's focusing on the experience and the result of having been blessed. This is someone who is happy and shining because they are experiencing happiness, well-being, and contentment. So right at the start, we have a big banner invitation of one who is experiencing real happiness that lasts into the future. Now, the rest of verse 1 gives three pictures of what this happy person is not like. And you can see there that the first picture is he or she is one who does not walk in step with the wicked. More literally, it's does not walk in step with the counsel of the wicked. So this is someone who doesn't listen and has chosen not to listen to the advice and wisdom of the world. They do not stand in the way of sinners. And then that last one, or sit in the company of mockers. That word mockers, in lots of the Psalms and Proverbs, it will talk about different categories of fools, with the most outrageous category is that who is a mocker. A mocker is someone who actively rages against God and attacks God and God's people. So here we have the happy, blessed person is someone who has chosen to reject all these other voices and pathways, and they've decided that that group is wrong. They're distorted and they do not give happiness. Now, this is a radical choice for anyone to make, because when you look at God's group and then the rest of the world as a group, that's a big group. It's a wide path that it seems like everyone is on. And there's a lot of company there, as the psalm even says. They're a company, they're a group, they're a gang, they're a family. And that we might even find that many of our family and friends are in that group. And this group is saying, here is where happiness is. Because they're big and they're vocal, they have a voice of authority about them. And usually this big group have all the stuff. You know, they hoard it all together, and if you want to be part of them, you've got to scratch their back and they'll scratch yours, and that's how you get along in life. And so it can seem like the big group of the world, in contrast to those that follow God, are the happy and successful people. And here's the twist too. If you're not going to be part of that group, the group of the world, well then, what other group are you part of? You're part of the group that has sided with God, which then means you're probably the one getting mocked. And so there's this twist in the pursuit of happiness with God, is that it actually may hurt and cost as you find yourself mocked and hassled for following God. So it's a radical choice. Now, how does a person like this ever make such a radical choice? Verse 2 gives us insight. He or she is someone who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. How is reading the law, meditating deeply on the law, actually going to bring this kind of delight? I mean, do you hear the word law and it sounds so, well, lawish and dry and dusty, maybe even hard and condemning? So I just want to take a moment here as we launch into the whole book of Psalms to help us get a right sense of this word law, because it's very important. It comes up all through the Psalms, and we will hear Psalms that display a person who loves the law of God, loves it, desires it. But it is a tricky word for us, and that is because in English we use the word law, And that can send us in a certain direction and almost be a bit of an obstacle in how we think about this. So I want to take you back behind the English word to the original Hebrew word, just so that we can get a good sense of this and understand each time we hear law. So the Hebrew word behind the English word law is a word called Torah. You may have heard of it. Now, in Hebrew, the word Torah is much bigger and broader than law. It means, first and foremost, direction. And through the Psalms, as someone delights on the law, the Torah, you'll hear them use metaphors like, it's my path. I find my path and my light in it. Because Torah is direction. Now, keep that in mind and try and hear Torah, direction, every time you hear law. Because when we hear law, we can automatically just think law, legal, rules, all that sort of stuff. Now, the Torah in the Old Testament references the first five books of the Bible. So when the psalmist is talking about Torah, they have in mind the first five books, Genesis through to Deuteronomy. And if you read that, it is a story. Here's the key thing. As you open the first page of this Torah story, you hear in the beginning, story language, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it kicks off a story. And for sure, as you go through this story, there are some sections with law in it, but it is a story overall. Now, if you and I were in an elevator and I had 30 seconds to tell you the story of the Torah, here's what I would say. I'd say, well, it's a story. Yeah, you might have heard it's law. It's a story, but it's a story that God gives us about who he is and how he has made us. And how we have rejected him, and that's what's wrong with the whole world. But get this, at the heart of the story, God is showing his heart, who he is. Time and time again, he comes to people who have rejected him and says, come to me, with me, you'll find a compassionate, forgiving God. At the heart of the Torah story, he actually reveals who he is. And here's one occasion of that. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, means this is love that goes on and on for those that come to him, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So here's the thing. When we hear Torah, I put before you that try to keep in mind Torah story. When you hear law, our English word law, that was the whole point of talking about this. When you hear law, think Torah story, the story of finding God because he has found us and finding that God is a forgiving God. That is the pathway and source to happiness. It's a story of God restoring happiness. Now, C.S. Lewis, he said this. That's gone a bit wonky, but like a car is made to run on petrol and it would not run properly on anything else, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel of our spirits that was designed to burn. We were designed to burn. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about God's word to us. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. The happy, blessed person is the one who finds God and finds him as a forgiving God. Now, I said that right throughout the Psalms, it's got that line, happy or blessed is the one who, if you were to read through the book of Psalms, the very next time it pops up is in Psalm 32. And listen to what it says. This is one of my favorite Psalms, and I often will pray and remember this of a night when I put my head on the pillow. From Psalm 32, suddenly hear again, happy, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Happy, Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them and in whose spirit is no deceit. That's David who wrote that. That's the Torah story, and that is where delight and happiness comes from. Now, just before we move on, since I've walked us down the corridor of the Torah story just a little bit, let's just go a little bit further, because this too is important as we start a series on the Psalms, and we're going through the Psalms, and the Psalms will call us to keep meditating on the Torah story and the God that we find in there. The Torah story itself constantly speaks about how God has promised to fix the world through a future king. And I find this remarkable. This is so interesting. When you read the Torah story, so we've said it's a whole story, and yes, it would take a little while to read it, but when you read it all the way through, it keeps stopping and pausing for these big songs. And they stand out, maybe not so much to us in English, but it's all I indented in your text, which is showing that originally it's so clear that this was a poem and a song. And as you go through these songs, you hit them. It's like a musical. You know, if you go to a musical, you hear the drama, and then they pause to do this big song, and there's this chorus line. And the chorus line really just emphasizes the big theme of the story. That's what's going on with the Torah story. So you hit these songs. They come up in three massive parts. You can follow them up later. We don't have time to go through them all. But each song has the same thing going on. It calls people to gather around someone who will tell them what will happen in the future. And then they give a blessing, all in poetic song form. And this blessing talks about a specific king that God will bring through Judah, who will defeat enemies, rule the world, and bless the world. Let me give you one quick sample. This comes from Genesis 49. Then Jacob, he called for his sons and said, "Gather round so that I can tell you what will happen to you in days to come. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter," that's the king's scepter, "will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his." Now, it's awesome. We don't have time to go through how all these three songs ping each other and they use lines and images from one another. But the whole point is that when you're reading the Torah story, you keep hearing this song rise up about a future king that God is going to bring, through whom he will fix the world, defeat enemies, and bring the blessing of Eden to all the nations and to the edges of the earth. This is the stuff that when we do our Digging Deeper courses, you've got to come along, because we get into this. And I can just flag here, I'm pretty sure the next one we're doing in Term 3 is on the Torah and all these songs. So you might want to sign up for that. But hey, here's the thing. Torah story. When we hear the law of the Lord, think Torah story, think specifically. The psalmists are singing about how the Torah story itself has this song about a future king through whom God will bless and rule the world. Now, verse 3. The person, we're looking at the person who is happy and blessed, and as they meditate on the Torah story day and night, they are one, verse 3, who is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. So kids, hold up your sheet of paper if you've been drawing the tree. We got, yeah, good work. Yeah, nice. Okay, are you hearing this? This is a tree that is by streams of water. So I hope you've included that you've got water there, and it is flourishing with fruit. and it has a leaf that does not wither. How do you draw that? A leaf that does not wither. But here is a tree that has been planted by streams of water. It's planted by streams that are flowing with this Torah story, flowing with the Word of God. And anyone who knows the Torah story would know that it starts off with a garden that flourishes, and in the middle there is the tree of life. The person who meditates on God's story and what he is doing is like a tree. This is someone who is being reestablished and reclaimed for what they were designed to be, to live with God and flourish. And it's got a leaf that does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. This is a leaf that, as the seasons come and go, as there's winds and there's winter, this leaf, even though it goes through all that, is immune from actually dying. Immune from death being the last word. Now, my family has been quite sick this week. It's been a bit of a miserable fortnight, actually. You know, some of us can relate. You're in the one household and everyone keeps getting sick off one another. Well, that's been our experience for the last 10 days. And I went to bed one night. Well, I was putting Kale, my young son, to bed one night, and we were praying, and he said, because I'd been sick and then Mum had been sick, he said, "Oh, can you pray that I don't get sick?" So we prayed, and that's a lovely prayer. And then we had one of those great conversations with, why is there sickness? And we had just heard about Jono's megaphone, so I found that really helpful last week. So I spoke about that, and then Kale said, "Oh, how would the sickness get from Papa to Mama to me?" And I talked about bugs and how they can kind of jump. And then he said, "Oh, are there any good bugs?" I said, "Well, actually, yeah, there are. There's good bugs." And we talked about the immune system. I did my best to explain white blood cells going around, kind of like the game of Pac-Man. But I said, here's the thing. You know, the Bible does tell us that we will get sick, and there is a great sickness called death, and that can be like game over in Pac-Man. But when we are with the Lord, such is his promise, is that it's like playing Pac-Man and game over, but then you can just restart again. You know, when you get like infinity lives, you can have that setting. We have a leaf that is immune from ultimately dying. That is the blessing and flourishing that one who walks with the Lord has, and it starts now. Even in the midst of different seasons, there is a flourishing life with God that starts now, so that what you do prospers. You actually will prosper with the Lord. You will find happiness, and you have been restored with him. The person who finds the forgiving God finds immunity from death and judgment with God. And our next verses in 4 and 5 and 6 turn in our psalm, turn to the season of the devastating winds of God's judgment. Verse 4, so in contrast to the person who is flourishing by the streams of God's word, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. God's judgment for those who have rejected him and who have mocked him and mocked his people will come. There's a future day that this psalm looks at, and it's in accordance with what the Torah story talks about. People who reject God and mock him will not stand. In contrast to being a solid rooted tree, they will be shown to be hollow and have no root and will be blown away. And they will be cut out of that group, the assembly that God calls the righteous. They'll be cut out of the group that is experiencing the happiness that emanates only from God. And verse 6, the final line of this psalm, it puts forward the path to true and lasting happiness, and it says that it is only with the Lord. So verse 6, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. It's very interesting the way the psalmist actually puts this final line. You have the way of the wicked clearly leading up to destruction, but the way it starts is it says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. The language of watching over, or the Lord knowing is another way that it gets translated, is a phrase in the Bible that speaks of having the personal, relational presence of God. So even as this person is going through the seasons and is still on the way to that final day, they already have the personal, relational presence of the Lord with them. The very way or pathway to happiness leads to the Lord, but this person already has the Lord as they are on the way. They've already found God. They've already found happiness. And to have God is to already experience happiness. This person on the way has God now, has them tomorrow, and has God into the future. What a psalm that kicks off the start of this whole book of Psalms. With a big banner and invitation, it calls all of us that we can find and experience happiness even now as we come to the only source of happiness, God. So let me come back to those two questions at the start. First, if I speak to you in the room who may not yet be a Christian, and I asked you, are you happy? Well, here we have seen this psalm declares what the whole Bible, the Word of God, declares, and is that your search for happiness will not find happiness in any other source than God alone. You cannot find happiness, lasting true happiness, away from God and the Lord Jesus. Any other pathway you take away from God will only lead to frustration and misery and disappointment. Why? Because God is the only source of happiness. He is the creator. He is from whom life and happiness flow. So I ask you to consider life's many disappointments and letdowns. I mean, it's clear. I mean, you might look out to people who are super happy. The super, super happy people seem to be very frustrated still, even with all that they've got. Would you consider your many life letdowns and maybe come along to our life series that we just heard about? That's a great next step that you could do if you're thinking, yes, I want the source, I want to find happiness. Is it with God? Do come along to our next life series. That'd be great. But for us who are Christians in the room, are you a happy Christian? Finding God and finding His forgiveness brings wonderful, lasting happiness. So if it is that we are constantly sad, I don't mean that there's seasons and times of sadness. It's clear that we are in a broken world yet to be fully redeemed. But if you are constantly sad and bitter and angry and frustrated, I wonder, have you forgotten that to be reconciled with God means you have forgiveness and are free from condemnation and judgment. That surely your happiness starts now. And it's not just notional. If you go back to Psalm 32, I encourage you to read it. David recognizes that as he confesses his sin, as he learns more of who God is, he finds a deep and lasting joy that flows across his whole life, even in the midst of hard circumstances. He finds psychological, emotional, even physical benefits as pain does dissipate and drain away more and more as he remembers and knows that God, he is reconciled with God. Now, it doesn't mean that life is never punctuated with pain, but things radically change when we know that this is not our home and that we are now with God. Many Christians have found great joy as they have realized that this world is temporary and that there are two destinations, final destinations. One where it is worse than even the sadness of this world. The other is unbelievably happier than even the greatest happiness in this world. To have that brings a great joy even now to know that. Happy and blessed people who have let go of false expectations about this world find a greater peace and joy, even as they give up things, especially in their relationships. To live in marriages and families and friendships and even to go to work where you're not expecting of other people that they provide your happiness, a happiness they can't provide for you and will let you down. How awful is it in these kind of relationships where you might consume them trying to find happiness now and you've consumed the very people that you love and treasure? Are you going back home and the way you treat your spouse or your kids is you're frustrated and disappointed with them because you're hanging on to happiness now? There's great joy and peace and blessed happiness for those people who have let go of false expectations in this world. And lastly, that the Lord's way of wisdom, and the Bible is given to us God's word of the best way to live. Even now, as we absorb his wisdom, life does go better. 1 Timothy 6, Paul says, as he urges Timothy to flee the ways of the world and to cling to God, talks about those who have let go of God to grab onto the world have pierced themselves with many griefs. So if you are feeling constantly happy, unhappy, constantly sad and disappointed, and you get a sense that the people around you probably find you quite unpleasant to be with, and you are a Christian, how do you fix that? Come back to meditating on God's word and delighting in the forgiveness that he has given you and absorbing up his wisdom. The book of Psalms are given to us for hard times. Paul, when he was in jail, sung hymns and psalms and declared that he had found the secret of contentment even in his circumstances. So maybe for you, excuse me, a first step today would be before sundown, go and read Psalm 32. Go and read and pray Psalm 32. And then you might even like to commit, especially as we're going through the Psalms now for the rest of the term, commit to getting up tomorrow morning, or at some point tomorrow morning, reading Psalm 2. We've read Psalm 1, read Psalm 2, read and pray and rejoice in what you learn about God through the Psalms for this next period. Let me lead us in prayer and then we're going to gather together for the Lord's table. Our good and heavenly Father, from whom all happiness flows. We thank you that you have blessed us in the Lord Jesus Christ and positioned us in the heavenly realms. Our destination has changed, and that backflows even into now with great joy and happiness to know that we are forgiven and restored to you. How happy we are to know that our sins and transgressions have been forgiven, to know that you do not count any of our sins against us, and you are removing deceit and bringing truth and life and happiness to us. We give you praise and thanks for this, Lord Jesus. Amen.